goons and I in a counting flop. Bought a ship too much with the rules we'd got. Formed our fleet in the Jeter lag. Couldn't see the gang size we had. At Eve TV, Trev crashed the software. Eds were screaming, too many points out there. Floating in the Jovian sky. At 109 point shit, and goons say bye.
Welcome to yet another edition of Warp Drive Active, the podcast. I am Winterblink, and I am joined by my compatriot, Urban Mongrel. Urban, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, sir, and you?
I'm okay.
But before we go any further, big thank you again to Suas, Shut Up and Shay, for our little bees intro tune.
It's good stuff, man.
Yep, so Suas, thank you very much. Any song about the goons? I think somebody should do like a Goon Show parody about the goons. Thing is, if I know, can you do an Eccles voice?
A what?
Do you know what the Goon Show is?
No. Should I?
Yeah, it's, if you like comedy, you should do.
Well, I like comedy.
It's like a forerunner to things like Monty Python. It was a radio show done in the sort of late 50s to the 70s by Spike Milligan, Peter Sellers, I was going to say Harry Enfield there, but it's not him. Brain work.
Oh, maybe
not. Michael Bentine was in the early ones, and the last one is Harry Secombe. You ever heard of this, though?
No. Maybe I'll Google it later.
So how was your week, sir?
Well, it's been, 2 weeks, right? Since we last did one of these things around there?
Nope, just a week.
Has it been a week? Chris Warren's been 2 weeks, dude.
Week and a little bit.
Week and a little bit. Yeah, no, it's been interesting, actually. Yeah, a lot of craziness going on in EVE this week. I've had some more interesting to talk about what I did last weekend. I did a little bit of, it's something I'd never done before, which is, did a little bit of snowboarding. It was quite awesome. We all, a bunch of friends of mine and I, we all piled into our respective cars, drove out to a nice big fat mountain, and, did some snowboarding, which was pretty awesome. I've never done it before, and I actually don't ski, which is kind of interesting. So everyone thought I was not going to make it back. But actually, apparently, from what people are saying, I did it quite well. The only thing I managed to bugger up at all, sort of semi-seriously, is my shoulder, because I just fell and I braced with my arm, which I knew I shouldn't have done. But yeah, at any rate, that's still a little bit sore, but what a fun time, I tell you. I don't know if you've ever been, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. But yeah, what did we do? We ended up, a whole bunch of us ended up renting a condo there, which was actually a really good idea. It was about 8 to 10 of us, and the whole weekend, including food, booze, and the condo rental, came to $150 a piece, which was pretty good, like for each of us. That's a pretty awesome deal for like 3 days of fun, including but not limited to snowboarding and hot tubs, which was a great, great ton of fun after a long drive out there, especially because it was about 6 hours, I think, it took me to actually drive out there. So yeah, going into the hot tub and having a nice big fat drink was kind of nice. But it was an excellent time. The weather was absolutely beautiful. It was about 7 degrees Celsius around there on the mountain, so it was pretty nice. Yeah, it was fun. I fell a bunch of times because you can't learn snowboarding without falling on your ass an uncountable number of times. But yeah, I had one of the guys there took me up just so I didn't need to buy formal lessons. He basically just said, "Oh, I'll take you up and teach you the ropes." So I mean, we went up to about the top of the green area or whatever for regular folk. So we're not doing any kind of silly black diamond stuff or anything like that.
The noob area.
Yeah, well, not even the noob area. I mean, it's still got its own interesting idiosyncrasies, but it's just not. The area that's like, you know, you could possibly die in. I mean, if you're really stupid, I guess you could. But yeah, it was a good spot to learn because it was nice, wide open. There wasn't too much in the way of tree hazards to deal with, so, which is good when you're learning. But definitely was at one with the mountain on many an occasion. But still had a few runs there where I was going a pretty fair distance before wiping. And thankfully, at the end, in front of everybody, in front of the ski lodge and all that stuff, I actually did not face plant or roll or anything like that. I came to a nice balanced skidding stop with a little bit of flourish, you know, and did my bindings and was pretty happy with myself on that one. So that was a lot of fun. It was great to get out for a few days from town just to have a nice relaxing weekend among the mountains. Yeah.
Very nice.
How about yourself? What have you been up to?
Well, the first thing to say is went to this EVE TV final day event. Very good fun. Wasn't that many people there, which is a bit of a shame, but it was kind of last moment. And because nobody told, or at least the person I'd spoken to, the club hadn't told any of the staff, they turned away a bunch of people.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
That kind of sucks. But everyone who showed up had a great time, and it was good. And hi to everybody I met there. Hope you had a good time. But the other thing is, my reason for my trip to Birmingham was to get my iPod fixed, if you recall, or to try to.
Yes. So what is the continuing saga of this iPod? I think Croven made the signature for the iPod?
That was Omber Zombie.
Oh, it was Omber, okay. It was one of the two. Okay, good.
Have you given him his art book yet?
No. We'll get there. It's actually moving. It's migrating its way through my house towards the door. It's closer than it's ever been. Trust me, it will make it there.
You suck so badly sometimes.
I do. What has it been, like a year since? I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while. Seriously, sorry, Omber. I will get this out to you. Don't worry.
Anyway, sorry, Omber, as well, that for trusting Blinky with this.
Anyway, what about your iPod?
I went and took it into the iPod store, and the Apple store, and it was absolutely packed. And so I was thinking, well, this might not be good. And they've got like a help desk there, but it was so crowded, you actually have to make appointments and stuff.
That doesn't sound too good.
That doesn't sound too good. So I went there and they said, well, you should really have an appointment for this, but we'll see if we can fit you in. So what's up with your iPod? And I just go, well, playing completely innocent here. Oh, it's completely dead. It's not doing anything. And took it out, showed it to them. And they tried plugging it into various things. And they go, yeah, that's completely dead. And they started looking at, you know, the little socket in the bottom where, you know, they've got, you know, you plug in the charger thing, the USB plug thing.
Yeah.
They go to me, yeah, it's completely dead. The only time we really see this normally is like if it's been immersed in water. And I'm there going, okay. It goes, but now they put immersion sensors in it so we can find out if that happened. And it obviously hasn't happened in your case. Oh, yes!
Nice.
So, yeah, they said, yeah, we have no idea why it's broken. It doesn't seem to have any rough treatment, so here's a new one. The only slight thing is it's only 16-gig one. I wanted a 32, but they wouldn't say, you know, you can have a 32 and you can pay the difference. So I just got another 16. But I do have a brand spanking new iPod, and I'm surprised people didn't pick up on this, because I put a little clue on the GAX page. You remember our little one about having 200 members of our GAX site?
Yeah, isn't that maddening? I did actually notice that. I was like, oh, look, it's iPod.
Yeah. So there's a picture of the iPod there. There's a picture of a Brenuin and a glass of Brenuin to celebrate our listeners. But I don't know, people didn't seem to pick it up and post about it. And the working iPod with the Warp Drive Active picture on it. And yeah, so epic. Don't know how the hell I got away with this one, but epic win for me.
It was just probably some small bubble of air managed to, like, prevent your immersion sensor from tripping or something.
I have absolutely no idea what stopped it tripping, but hey, I'm not going to complain here. And if anyone from Apple is listening, owned.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, that's a good thing you got it back, though, which is nice. I mean, I wonder what they would do in
a brand new one back.
Yeah, but I wonder what they would do. Would they, like, deny you, like, warranty on that or something if it was immersed?
Yeah, they would do, because it's not their problem if you throw it in the toilet. I mean, it depends how repairable it is. If it's just, we're looking at forums on this, you know, if it's something they can fix, be charged for fixing it, but they will fix it for you, but that will take time because it's got to be sent off to God knows where in the world.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah, if it is broken, your problem, and rightly so, I would think, unless you're a fluky bastard like I am.
Yeah, it seems like fate was both against you and on your side in this case.
Thank you very much to Apple for letting me do it. The guy was there, like, going, yeah, we get them in all the time, and it's when they're dead like that, it normally means they've, like, somebody's, you know, put them in the sink or dropped them in a puddle or thrown them down the toilet. And me trying to be completely innocent go, oh, that doesn't really happen, does it? And he's going, oh, it happens a lot. A lot.
You're standing there like, what kind of an idiot would toss their iPod in the toilet?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I ask you. Speaking of which, there were quite a lot of people actually who got in touch with me about this, saying, you know, they did this, or more to the point, their friend did this or their wife did this. Very few people actually said, no, I actually did this. But seems like iPods and toilets seem to have this sort of magnetic attraction.
Maybe it's something, I don't know. You're bored.
But nowhere near as many people has contacted me and said, you bastard, I can't listen to the 2001 theme ever again, you evil swine.
No, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe something is like something that, a little bit of entertainment, I guess, while you're sitting there bored, you can just wirelessly browse the internet or something. I don't know. Bring a book or something next time.
Maybe. Anyway, so if you do drop your iPod in the toilet, play You're Very, Very Fluky Like Me and it doesn't trigger the immersion sensor. That's all I can suggest.
Indeed.
Anyway, time for in-game news. First up, well, Tortuga is getting bigger.
Is it?
Well, yes. you should know about this, but apparently you don't.
Should I? Yes, I'm playing stupid. Go ahead.
You're playing the fool, aren't you, now?
Perhaps.
Don't make me hurt you. I mean, you know, I can hurt you just by stopping the recording thing without warning you beforehand.
That's true. Yeah, Pamela tends to screech into her headphones every time you do that. It's always enjoyable.
Anyway, should we just do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I said, Tortuga is growing. It has just had the addition of the recently created Odyssey Alliance.
Who's Odyssey Alliance?
Who is Odyssey Alliance, I hear you asking? Well, basically, they are a group of four corps who have left IAC.
Yes, member corps. We've got office linebackers, the humble crew, special high-intensity training. great acronym, guys. Infinity Enterprises, the Faded, and Rehabilitation.
So I had to chat with 8-Bit, who's the CEO of Infinity Enterprises, about this. And, well, he had some rather interesting information about it.
What did he tell you?
Well, basically, as I said, they were all in IAC, and the corps, the five corps who left, or four corps who left, were fairly unhappy about how IAC was being run, and under Tyrax. So when Ishano Akarenda, I'm bad at pronouncing names, I know, took over the presidency, he found things improved vastly. And interesting, that's also the time, because IAC were really on the ropes about 6 months ago, would you agree?
I think it was but a pretty tough time for them.
They were in real trouble. They were getting spanked by Bob, and I think you guys had a contract out on them for a bit and stuff? Or was it just generally they were red?
Are you talking that whole area up there in, like, near H-74 and stuff like that?
Yeah, that kind of area.
Yeah, it was just, generally speaking, kind of like a help bolster the lines in this area, kind of a contract, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, so, but anyway, IAC were in desperate trouble at the time. Tyrax was losing his Imgeddon, as I recall, as well.
Yes.
And so Aisho Akarenda took over. Again, apologies for pronouncing things badly, but I always do that, you may have noticed. And, you know, they turned it around. Of course, it wasn't just them. There was many, many other factors in this, but they've taken an awful lot of space, and the fact is they're now in Quirius. Something they couldn't have dreamed about back then.
Well, Bob's been pretty busy lately.
Well, yes. So then Tyrax became back in charge. 8-Bit puts this on backdoor politics, which sounds dodgy to me, if you ask me, but...
Kind of disgusting, again, too, when you think about it, but...
Yeah, really. Basically, what happened is Ishino was heavily criticized by quite a few people about his leadership, which, you know, given just in terms of space recaptured, he can't have been doing that badly, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he could have been doing much worse, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They said he wasn't up to the job, and he apparently didn't take it well at all. So he quit without any more warning. It's rather suspicious, this. There was just a post appeared on the forums just said, "That's it, I'm out of here."
That's kind of strange.
That is very, very, very strange, I feel.
Unless there's some kind of real-life reason for it, which wouldn't necessarily be surprising. I mean, people have real-life issues that drag them away from Eve, but who knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely, but if you've got a real-life issue, chances are you would say, something's going on in real life, even if you don't want to talk about it.
True.
So he quit without any warning. Tyrax became president again. Kind of got parachuted in, a lot of people are saying, which made it so suspicious, as if this thing had been set up, if you know what I mean. If this was a little bit of a plot. So 8-Bit wasn't very happy with it, and the CEOs of these other corps we mentioned weren't very happy about this. So they quit, set up their own alliance called Odyssey, and headed down to Pyrid Basis to become Tortugarites.
And a hearty welcome to them.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I mean, politics of IAC are pretty interesting, really, I guess. Obviously, it's in terms of numbers, there's a lot of experienced players going down, but it's not, you know, we're not talking half of IAC going, you know, there's significant numbers of players, but it's not, you know, vast amounts. But in terms of skill points, there's some very, very experienced players on the move.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well, which is pretty cool. I mean, I started noticing bits and pieces of them, like just, you know, them on our team speak and stuff like that for a while, and I was like, who are these guys? And then, caught wind of that they were joining us around down there. So that's cool. More the merrier.
Now, the next bit of news which is coming out of that, and this is actually not news, this is rumour, so don't take this as gospel, but God, would this be interesting if it's true? And I've heard this from about three or four people now. Bob and IAC might put aside their differences and go after Tortuga.
Hmm, amusing.
Why'd you say amusing?
I don't know. Just...
Now, given the amount of history there is between Tyrex and members of Bob, especially Mole, I would say that that is highly, highly unlikely.
As a general rule, I don't put much faith in rumors at all, especially Eve rumors, but, you know, yeah, there's a lot of... I would say the amount of mistrust would vastly, you know, counterbalance any kind of trust issues, you know, like, I doubt it would happen, but...
On the other hand, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
True, but it is kind of a three-way love-in in that regard, so can you really trust anybody?
Well, of course you can't trust anybody, it's Eve. You get strange little groups forming based on, you know, the political realities at the time, rather than any kind of wishy-washy bullshit. It would be a huge shock, really, I mean, given the sheer amount of past history going on. But let's face it, both Tyrex and Bob have got plenty of reason to want to get their teeth into Tortuga right now.
I suppose. Again, I hate rumor-mongering myself, so I don't usually play into it at all.
So, anyway, thank you very much to 8-Bit for filling us in on at least his side of it. Moving up to the north, UMC guys had a little bit of a fight with Pure.
Yes, we did. That was for the last week. The contract's over as of Friday, so time of this recording, of course, everything's finished. So it was mostly just... I mean, it was an Empire war, but there really wasn't much Empire fighting at all. Most of it was low-sec and 0-0 stuff in and around the P3 system... What was it? Just looking it up. Yeah, in and around the Obey and P3EN system. Way up there in Vale of the Silent. So, there was quite a bit of a... This is the odd bit of action, I should say. It wasn't constant all throughout. But from what I heard, there was a pretty decent set of engagements here and there throughout. I tried to get into it as much as I can, but I only was able to camp some gates for a couple days. But yeah, I think good times were had by all, and I think one of the things that I've heard some people say from the MC side of things more often than not was how impressed they've been with how Pure has reacted to it instead of, you know, whinging about it and stuff like that. They've taken great strides to learn from it and adapt their tactics to match, which has worked for them. I mean, it actually, you know, it in terms of the actual results of the contract, I mean, yeah, there was a few engagements there, I think, if I remember correctly, where they actually had the upper hand, which is great. So it was a good... I think it was a good time had by all.
Well, it seems to be. What's interesting is MC seem to feel secure enough with Tortuga down there in the south that they can actually go on contracts to the north. And to be fair, I didn't see anything much in the way of any sort of invasion being launched or counter-invasion or, yeah, anything more than moderate-sized raids, if at all that.
Well,
I mean,
you've got
a set of Sino jammers up now and stuff.
Well, the way Eve is set up now with jump clones and all that other business is that you're a hop, skip, and a jump away from amassing a resistance to anything that goes on. So, I mean, it's
one jump in every 24 hours, dude.
Right, but if we have clones from where we're at down there, all we need is one jump, right?
No, I agree, you only need one jump, but once you've all jumped up there, you're screwed for 24 hours.
Yes, I suppose, but...
You've either got to actually drive the long way around to get down there,
It would be silly to assume, though, for any attacker to say that we all did it in a synchronized fashion at one particular moment of one day, right? So, I mean, it's just... That's not what happens. But at any rate, if anything had happened during the week, I don't think it would have been that big of a deal to get people back down there into J8 or into the period basis region. So, but yeah, good times were had by all except for perhaps one particular person, because in and around that area we were dealing a lot with guys from Hydra, and there was one particular kill mill which received a whole lot of lols by everybody. It was this fella named DJ Whiff of Gravediggers Corp, who was in Hydra. He was apparently flying his Eidolon Mark III through AZBR-2 and came across a couple of our guys, and they bagged him. And I haven't sent you the kill mail because I wanted to read off what was destroyed on here, and then you can crack up as much as we did. You ready?
Yep.
All right, so on his ship, of course, he had his requisite, you know, expanded cargo holds and an overdrive. But let's see, what was in...
If he's in an Iteron 3, he's a noob to start with, because haulers, Iteron 5 is a ship of choice, at least in terms of the classic industrials. Yeah?
Right. In his cargo bay, he had a Dragarista large shield booster, a Dragarista blister control system, Estimel's modified cruise missile launcher, Estimel's Tharkon tag, Dragarista's extra large shield booster, Estimel's modified shield boost Alphafire, Dragarista cruise missile launcher, Dragarista 350mm railgun, Kaika's modified siege missile launcher, Kaika's modified coprocessor, Dragarista siege missile launcher. You see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going with this, yeah.
There's a god-awful lot of stuff. I mean, in total, it looked like, well, according to the Killboard calculation, a total loss of 3.4 billion ISK worth of stuff.
That's well, I don't know the whole lot of it, but the Killboard calculations tend to be quite a bit down on market value, certainly for named goods.
Definitely. So, I don't know what factor you'd like to apply to that to bring it up to probably a nominal value, but still...
At least five bill, depending on where you sell it.
Right. So, I mean, this is a lot of, like, really nice stuff that just went poof because this guy tried to run a blockade in an Eidolon. Yeah, there's some really...
So wrong doing that on every level.
Well, I mean, looking at his kill board, it's not the first time he's tried something like this, but hasn't lost quite as much. But some of the comments on here are absolutely great on the Hydra kill board.
Are you guys f***ed? Red camp equals stupid asses in indie ships parked in the station. Thanks for now making this campaign worth their while. It's making us look like idiots, screams Johannes ML.
I like the one near the bottom by Anonymous. Lol, every roaming gang in Eve is going to pay us a visit once they see this and the carrier loss. They won't be leaving anytime soon. Hope you like seeing Reds in local.
Oh my god, it's like somebody's put, when you quit, and it's the Can I Have Your Stuff t-shirt from the Eve store.
Yeah. Poor fella. I mean, oh man. But it looks to be just, I think it's just some guy who just basically has been out there, he's been rioting like crazy, you know, he's just moving his loot around, I don't know.
Verosa goes, kick him right now, this retard needs to stop ruining already gimped reputation, FFS.
Bad move, sir. Not such a good way to go.
You do get fame, though, for that, though. You do get, what should we give him? Should we give him chutzpah points?
I don't know what you give him, but it looks like he's lost in his time. Oh, what do we got on the Hydra killboards, at least? We got 4 Eidolon 3s, Noob Ship, Dominix, and a Megathron. No kills.
Okay, not very good, then. Dear. I mean, should we be cruel to this guy? Yes, we should. If you're carrying billions worth of stuff, people, little noob tip here, avoid red gate camps. Might be a plan.
Yeah, maybe read the news once in a while and, you know, just kind of make sure that the path you're taking is, like, you know, not going to be filled with people looking to kill you. One of his other emails has a cloaking device on his Eidolon 3. Oh, amusing.
Can you give this guy lessons, please, Hydra? Please.
Yeah. Not even a blockade runner or anything like that. That's almost insulting. But yeah, anyway.
Next bit of in-game news. Looks like Triumvirate and KIA are at war for absolutely no good reason except for Angel or XX Angel. XX and Eds don't like each other very much.
I think it was just... I'm hearing differing reports of why this happened. Rumor is it was just it's purely just a humorous war deck based on some kind of slagging Ed's made about a triumvirate performance during the tournament. I don't even think it's a serious war deck anyways, but I have no idea, though. I've heard conflicting reports over how serious this actually is.
From what I hear from my KIA friends, Eds and Angel didn't get along very well in Iceland. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, they fought in the tournament, didn't they? And Triumvirate won after a very, very close, very good match. Though you were off skiing, you wouldn't know this, but yeah, they did.
Indeed.
Very, very, very good match, actually. It was going one way or the other. And Triumvirate got to the finals, where they lost to Evoke right at the end, but fought well. Again, that was one which could have gone either way, but the Megathron ran out of cap charges at the wrong moment.
Happens to us all.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you don't think this is much news, really? You just think it's just... Well, they're a hell of a long way from each other, and they've got their own worries at the minute, haven't they?
Yeah, that's why I kind of take stock in the whole theory that it's not a really serious war deck at all. Because there's... Yeah. I can't see Triumvirate coming all the way down to period basis to try and kill him, but... Who knows?
Yes, exactly.
But amusing nonetheless. Yeah. Tournament drama spills over into game.
Yes, exactly. So, apparently there was also an Evoke versus Triumvirate rematch. It's based on code news, because I wasn't there, so take that to mean what you will. Apparently in EC, about 200 Tri-Pirates came in and started sieging poses and stuff, and then they went away again, quite frankly.
What was the point?
Well, they seem to like it. It's definitely like Burn Eden to do that, declare war and have took them out of the tourney, but Triumvirate, haven't you got your own worries with Smash Kill War going on and stuff?
Oh, I think they can handle more than one thing. Pretty capable people, I think.
Okay, fair enough. other bit of news in the north, Morhus Mihi are slowly taking systems off Insurgency. Nothing's happening terribly quickly up there.
How slowly is slowly?
One or two in the past week, nothing much.
Oh, yeah, okay, that is kind of a snail's pace, but, yeah.
Sovereignty, again, even if you are blitzkrieging, you'll run into a, you know, system which is going to take you ages to siege.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that about covers in-game news for a bit. Okay, time for the discussion point. The Council of Stellar Management voting will begin on the 5th of May 2008.
That's not too far away at all. And this is the thing from a while back, right? With because I haven't been keeping up on this since they did their white paper release on the forums.
Yeah, basically they had a chat about it in FanFest, and they had then a sort of discussion with them and two English people. I can't remember their names. It was Ex-Hagen and Dr. Iog, who were the CCP representatives all through it. And basically the issues were this, that you know, you got your Council of Stellar Management, who are going to be a bunch of, shall we say, eight players who will be voted for the community, and there'll be a couple of video conferences a year, and once a year they'll actually fly out to Iceland. They'll be representing the interests of the players. Now, is it just me, or can we see a load of problems with this?
Where to start?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, yes.
I don't really want to, you know, piss on CCP for trying something new, but... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I think it's worth saying. It is a really neat idea. Like, it's... You know, this really hasn't been done on this scale, at least, that I know of, in any other MMO. At least not with this kind of level of detail and effort put behind it. I think it's a neat idea. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
but... I mean, it's so hard to say until you actually, like, see it in action, I guess, you know?
Let's start off with the voting process, shall we?
Let's do that.
Now, of course you are going to get somebody like Goonswarm, you know, joining together as a group and getting... Well, imagine you'll probably get about 1,000... Yeah, you split your Goon votes into blocks of 1,000, right? That means she's going to get 1,000 votes from a normal alliance, hardly anybody. So potentially your panel will be slightly slanted towards the huge alliances. And secondly, the Goonswarm could actually hold quite a number of the places on this.
Yes, that would be catastrophic. I don't know. Would that be good or bad?
Let's face it. I mean, Goonswarm, I mean, they went and they were some of the really big players going on the attack over the whole T20 incident. You know what I mean? They were the ones who really, really got going on that. And to be fair, the T20 incident was something. It wasn't anywhere as bad as Knutsman or Goonswarm were claiming it was, but it was, you know, a real incident, something bad did happen. But then they also went completely off their trees for the Sharkbait incident. You know, and anybody with any intelligence at all realized from the beginning that was just a pile of complete crap. He's a dev. He doesn't need to join your corp to find out where your assets are in space. You know, he's got powers. What are you... You know, why are you complaining so much about this? And, yeah, we all can... Everyone considered it pre-planned and quite pathetic from Goonswarm. I say everybody. A lot of people did. I certainly did. And the idea of having 3 or 4 Goonswarm members on this council, you know, they're not going to take it seriously.
Depends on the members. I mean, obviously, Goonswarm has its goofy elements, and they have their relatively sensible elements, in my opinion. There's some decent people on, you know, in Goonswarm, but...
But past past history here. We're talking past history.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, if you're going on past actions, it would be... I don't know how they're gonna, like, in terms of, this begs a question of have they announced much about the voting process? Like, because it can't just be a straight one vote, one player vote.
Yeah. Well, one vote, one, like, per active paid for account.
Okay, so they're keeping it up with sort of what they had gone with back. That's what they were sort of thinking about in FanFest. So, yeah, you could end up with them totally doing a vote swarm on it.
It is quite possible, and while we're at it, though, the only people with any chance of getting elected onto it are parts of the huge alliances.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, you know there'll be somebody from, you know, Bob there, you'll know there'll be somebody from Bruce there, but if you're from a smaller alliance, you know, you've got really very little chance of being on there, and does that mean your voice doesn't count?
Well, in my opinion, it most certainly does not mean it doesn't count, but because I think even though if you're a newer player, you have a perspective on the game that those of us who've been around for years and years don't, because things have changed, obviously, and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. They're voting, but I mean, there's a whole nomination thing that has to go into place beforehand, right? So, like, who are we voting on, all that stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I would hope that CCP is going to encourage a nice cross section of players that includes but isn't limited to, you know, alliance leaders, major alliance leaders.
Hey, maybe we should stand for it and rig it with a vote for us again.
Yes, that worked out so well for us. Well, who knows? I guess we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. But just to let you know, people, well, I'm certainly not going to be putting my name forward for this, simply because I get very little holiday time every year, and frankly, I've got better things to do with it.
Well, it would be interesting. I mean, Iceland's a pretty cool country. I wouldn't mind being flown around for it, but I don't know. It'd be an interesting experience, I think, for anyone who's involved in it. Certainly, like I said, it's something unique. But I don't know, regarding candidates, I don't know. Who would you pick? Like, if you had to pick, I don't know, a certain number of people or something, who would you pick to be on there?
I wouldn't know who to pick, to be perfectly honest. And people got to put their names forward to this. And, you know, what are you going to do? People going to do little vote for me video pictures. You're going to have debates amongst people. I mean, there is some potentially very cool stuff they could do with this, to be honest. And, hey, maybe we could do that, actually. Watch this space on the podcast, but, like, have to, like, you know, host a few debates between potential candidates and stuff.
I think that's a great idea, because, I mean, then I mean, maybe that's one of the things that CCP is leaving open to it, like an open campaign method. How do you want to get your voice out? I think it's a great idea. We should do that. So we should so totally do that, actually, is provide mechanism for people to do campaign style, you know, debates and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're not. Okay, so that means firstly, you can't be one of the candidates. Is that fair?
What do you mean you can't be one of the candidates?
You can't be a candidate if we're going to be setting up debates for the podcast.
Oh, hell yeah. No, I most assuredly would not make a big push to go in for this whole thing. But, no, I totally agree. But I think it would be great. I think it would be awesome because then people actually get a chance to, you know, listen to the people who are, you know, actually going to be up for grabs on this whole thing. Because, I mean, it's that's one of the neat parts about any political debate is that you can watch the commercials about somebody, you can read the propaganda about them, but this, it's a totally different ballgame to watch them up there, see their personality in action, you know, and see how it mixes with, or doesn't mix with, the other candidates. I think it's a great way to contrast people. So
I think that could actually be quite a good idea, that. We'll work out the practicalities and get back to you. But yeah, I don't see why there should be any problem with me and Blinky putting some of the debates out on, well, probably special episodes, because they're probably going to be quite long, these. And, you know, you can pick some of your candidates and things.
Yeah, it should be pretty good.
I'm starting to be less cynical about this, and let's go back to cynicism, because that's what I'm good at.
No, I'm thinking it's a great idea. We'll watch this space. We will let you know more as we know more.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, moving on to the next point, the Council of Stellar Management won't be a legislative body, but it will represent players before the company. If the company denies the request, they must justify their action to the councillors.
Okay. But, I mean, what's an example of this? As in, like, you know, you say, I think Amar need a boost, right? And then do you have to present some kind of case to everybody? Is that sort of what the deal is?
Well, that's... Well, huge amounts of mathematics, yeah, one way or another, but...
Perfect, it should be. I mean, someone coming up with just some random thing that has a wide-sweeping change to the game should have to come up with the math behind it to say, look, I've done the test. I've gone and shot at a can for hours and blah, 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 and this is what I think should happen. You know, they should have to put all that together for, you know, wide-sweeping game changes, I think.
Well, I guess so, but, I mean, one of the cases which was brought up in the chat at FanFest was, you know, what are you going to do if, you know, the goons flood the council and start making edicts like, you know, all ships have got to be B-shaped and go around going...
That's great. Come
that
up
wasn't
with
exactly the
why.
No, that wasn't exactly the terms they came up with in the FanFest discussion, I must admit.
Right. Thank God. But just saying, you know, like, at a certain point, they've got to then, you know, CCP will say, okay, fine, what, why? You know, give us the reason why, give us some scenarios of how this works better than what's currently in place. I mean, they won't just blindly accept everything and take it as gospel, right? These things have to be sort of proven in a way. I think it'll all work out.
Okay, next thing, right? It's not quite the same topic, but this was brought out... The original documents were brought out in the immediate aftermath of the T20 incident, right?
Yes.
I mean, they do say they were thinking about this for a long time, but, yeah, who knows? I don't know, certainly. No reason to disbelieve them, but it's interesting timing when it came out. This will do absolutely nothing to stop something like that happening again.
Of course, of course. I was about to say. Yeah, there's no way that this will have any kind of stopping power in a situation like that. I don't understand why it's sort of put forward as a solution to that problem, because that's not within the jurisdiction of the council anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Well, I'd say it's not within the jurisdiction of the council, but then again, so what is the point in this?
Well, the council, I don't think, is meant as an oversight committee, right? You're not meant to, like...
Yeah, I agree. I agree then. So what's the point of this?
I would imagine, if I were to venture a guess at this point, because I haven't kept up on this as much as I should have, but if I were to venture a guess, it'd be no more than just the ability for the players to communicate their thoughts back to CCP better than insane forum rambleage. So, like, you know,
yeah, but how it is, yeah, but somebody you're having just... hold on, but you're having two meetings a year over voice chat, and possibly going to Iceland once a year.
Right. So, one would imagine that the people getting voted in are not just sitting around doing nothing. They're out there, you know, being the bushes, trying to see what's important to the people, right? What are the issues that you're looking at? And people have someone to actually go to and say, hey, you know what? You know, because, I mean, posting a random thread on the forums doesn't necessarily get you anywhere. Because, I mean, like, you know, obviously the nature of the forums and stuff like that, right? But knowing that you can go to, like, you know, your local representative or something, right? Or however this whole thing works out, might help spur that and say, like, hey, you know, I got this idea that I think would be great for the game. You know, I'd rather approach a player about it and discuss it. Someone who's in the trenches with me, right, so to speak. And then they can maybe see whether or not, okay, well, you know, a dozen people have mentioned this to me this week, maybe this is an issue, right? That just makes it a little bit more approachable in terms of process. So then, whenever they do their meetings, they can say, hey, look, you know what, I've been contacted by a bunch of people who say that this is a concern of theirs.
Yeah, buff armor, that's probably going to be. to be honest, the big issues, you know, the stuff which really affects us in the day-to-day in the game, things like the lag monster, CCP already know a lot, yeah, all about, and what's more, they know a lot more about how they're going to fix it than, you know, we do, because, you know, we know a bit about computers, but we're not in, yeah, that kind of league. And so, you know, you pass, like, you know, a resolution saying, we want less lag. Well, yeah, is that going to make the slightest difference?
That is something that will be worked out almost immediately when this thing starts out, right? When it's like, all of a sudden, you know, everyone will say that same damn thing, and the immediate response is going to be like, we know, move on, next topic. Because, I mean, it's a known issue. Please, for love of God, people understand, it's a known issue. The CCP is fully aware of this. I mean, those aren't the issues that you're going to see being raised. I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, you'll see them being raised, but it'll be just like a yes, we know type of issue, move on, what's the next thing? Like, you know, I don't see it as being like that's all it's going to be dealing with. It's the known issues.
What we could really do with here is, well, then again, how much control do you want CCP to have of this? But, you know, for example, having different sections of society represented by different members of society. So instead of being, you know, all the big alliances, you know, you will get one member who's a spokesman for, shall we say, you know, the big alliances, one member who's a spokesman for the pirate community, one member who's a spokesman for the economic community. You know, La Vista, why don't you go over to Iceland?
Indeed. But I mean, okay, so say you give that a go, and that sounds great, until your entire alliance population is represented by a Goonswarm person, who may not have the same views as everybody else who is in a major alliance, right? So you can't quite kind of do it that way, because that's not being insulting to the Goons or anything. I'm just simply using an example, but it'd be the same thing as if you know, someone from MC was represented on that necessarily, because I mean, it's like we have our own perspective in alliance warfare that might not match what everyone else's is. Just simply putting that out there.
I see exactly where you're coming from there, but is that any better or worse than having, you know, eight people, each one's a representative of a really big alliance, and some of them are in the same alliance?
No, I totally agree with you there. Like, I don't know how you would pick representation, even representation across EVE. I don't think it's even possible.
It's a real difficult thing here, and, you know,
it's an impossibility, really, when you think about it, because you can't. Like, truthfully speaking, the people with the most sway would be the industrialists, considering they're building everything that we use. So, should they have the majority representation? You know, or should they just go on strike when they don't get it and screw everybody up?
Well, this is a problem here, and as I said, there's so many, you know, you can see this being either completely unworkable or completely powerless, or both. And what it's doing,
that's going to get resolved is if they actually just try it and see how it works for one term.
Well, but what they are doing with this, which cynical people like me are suggesting, is, boy, are they getting the headlines. I mean, I'm looking here, this is on MSNBC.
Yes.
You know, this has been in the New Yorker, it has been in the New York Times, this has been on the BBC, this has been in the London Times, or the actual Times if you're in proper country. Oh, bitterness there. So it just really annoyed me. Like, you know, when, like, in Austin Powers, where he's there reading the London Times. It's not. It's called The Times, the paper. It just happens to be published in London. Okay, I'm calm now. I'm calm.
Are you done?
I'm calm.
Oh, man.
The cynical people like me suggest... Yeah, this was released in a little bit of a panic after the whole T20 thing, and they're now just trying to scramble around and find ways of actually implementing it which aren't just going to fail epically.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think it's... I think the initial concept was thought up right afterwards, which is fine. I think that they've been working on this long enough that it's not really... I don't see this as being a knee-jerk reaction anymore. It's been out for... Like, they've been putting some serious thought into this for a long time.
And right? I don't like criticizing, like, X-Hagen, who is one of the main spokesmen of this, because, you know, he's a really, really nice guy and very smart guy, and, you know, I wish him all the best, and also because he could absolutely kick both of our asses.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, but, so, you know, I don't want this to be crap, but just from where I'm sitting here, publicity stunt, which has kind of taken a life of its own. And I hate to say things like this, because, you know me, I don't like slagging off CCP, but it just seems wrong.
I don't know. Again, I think it's one of those things that we're only going to be able to see how it's going to work really fully when it's implemented, and we go a term and see how the whole thing works out. I know it's kind of a cop-out to say, but honestly, I really don't know how this whole thing is going to go. So it's the only thing I can really suggest.
However, we are very, very keen on having candidates on the show to talk to us and hopefully getting debates between candidates going. So, yeah, we want to support it as far as we can, and we want to see your issues. It's just, I'm just being a cynical bastard as usual.
And that's fine. I mean, I think we're well within our rights to be cynical about the process. You know, this is something which could potentially have wide sweeping effects for all players, right? So I think all players should be skeptical about it and cynical and suggest changes, get involved if you care enough about it. I mean, it's like, if you don't, then that's fine too. Just, you know, maybe don't complain as hard about it after the fact when you had your chance to speak up.
Yeah. Anyway, voting will commence on the 5th of May, links in the show notes, and obviously check out the EVE TV FanFest coverage, where they've got the overview from Dr. Iorg and X-Hagen. Well worth checking out.
Yes, it's a good one.
Moving on, homework assignment. Last week you picked Dead Again, or Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me, yes, a television show from HBO. It rhymed. Did you have a chance to check it out? I know you were doing like one-click ordering thing on there.
I did, but I haven't been into work to actually pick up my post and stuff. All my post arrives from work because there's nobody at my place during the daytime to sign for it. But I've been off at site all week, so... yeah, it's probably sitting on my desk ready to be collected, but I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
That's cool. Let me know what you think.
Will do, sir. Okay, ready for my one?
Go, man, go.
My homework assignment for this week is Matter by Ian M. Banks. It's a book. It is apparently the final culture novel he's going to write, but he has said that before.
This, you've recommended one before from the culture series, right? Then this is... Because this is actually... The whole series is on my list of books to check out, because everyone's been recommending this to me. But, so what's this one about?
It's basically set in the distant future, where humanity has created AIs vastly more intelligent than they are, but they kind of live together in some sort of friendly symbiotic relationship. And because of these AIs, basically things like faster than light travel and, you know, perfect health and live as long as you want and stuff is now just trivial. It can just be done with no problems. Yep. This culture is a race that is a group of about 7 or 8 main humanoid species, plus, you know, quite a lot of other species who've kind of joined over the years. And basically, because the means of production are vastly more than any reasonable, you know, request which any citizen has, and probably a lot of the unreasonable ones as well. You know, if you want a house, it's just made for you, you know, things like that. Yeah, everything you could ever want. And they live, don't even live on planets, they live on purpose-built orbitals. You know, so it's just yeah, that kind of point in the future, and just this, well, sort of communism that works, given that everything you want is just there for you. There's no reason to, you know, fight over anything. So it's apparently this utopia. The trouble is they keep meddling in less advanced civilizations and stuff, and it has strange effects. So anyway, it is the final culture novel which Ian Banks is going to write. He said that after Look to Windward, but it's a mammoth tome. It is absolutely genius. The ending is just comes at you in a rush, if you know what I mean. It's one of these books where you started reading and it just kept building and building, and I think it's about 3 a.m. I finished it, and I just wouldn't have stopped reading until it was over. That is Matter by Ian M. Banks. It's still in hardback, but go and get it. What else have you been playing this week?
Do you want me to go, or do you want to go first? You might want to go first.
Yeah, I've been actually going back to Oblivion while the game was broken, because people will know this, about Wednesday the upgrade didn't go too well, and everything was down, so I went and played Oblivion for a bit, and still loving that.
Nice.
Still a great game.
That is a really good game, actually. I should get back into that. Have you finished the storyline at least once?
I haven't, actually. I'm really into doing all the side missions and stuff, so I'm still not that far ahead on the storyline, and I keep going and, like, you know, any Oblivion gates I find, I just go through them and shut them down and stuff, so the storyline's going to actually reel off pretty quickly towards the end, I get a feeling, but, you know, I'm loving it. I'm doing all this stuff to get into the Mage's Guild and getting up to, you know, a decent level in that and stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, it's a great game, that one.
What about you, sir?
Oh, bunch of everything. I have a Nintendo DS, so I picked up Geometry Wars Galaxies, as well as for my PSP, I picked up Patapon, which is like this little $20 game that was released, and it's kind of like a rhythm game. But it's actually kind of cute. It's like these little guys called Patapons, you like are marching across these like lands on the screen and stuff, and it's like a beat game, so they'll. There's certain beats that you do with the face buttons that make them do things like march forward or attack or retreat or whatever. And it's very challenging because you got to be pretty spot on with these things at the right time and build up combos and things like that. It's for $20, it's an incredibly deep game. But Geometry Wars Galaxies, of course, is a handheld version of Geometry Wars. Like, it's a Xbox 360 game. I don't know if you've played that, but it's a phenomenal game. But this has so much more to it in terms of different game types and add-ons and things like that. But during downtime, I went out and I picked up two games for the PC. I got World in Conflict, which I was in the beta for back in the days when they were actually developing it, which is a really awesome strategy game. And finally went out and picked up Crysis, which runs about a billion times better on my system than the demo did back in the day. So I've been pretty impressed with both of those games.
Wasn't it Yahtzee who said it was a super amazing space computer? Was the only thing which played Crysis?
Yeah, if you do it on, like, I can run mine pretty decently on the high setting. Like, if I turn everything on to the high setting, it runs very well. Switching it to the very high setting, which is like, that's the stupidest thing you can do ever, unless you like watching a flip book, because I mean, it will, yeah, your computer will scream in pain. But even with high, I mean, it looks very good, very, very good. It's a pretty decent shooter, actually, overall. It is a shooter, so, I mean, if you're not a shooter fan, it's probably not going to really do much to endear you to the genre, but I don't know, it's got some fun bits. It's kind of like a sandboxy shooter in a way, in that you have an objective, but how you actually complete it is sort of kind of up to you. Like, it still entails, like, blowing up something or whatever, right? But it's like how you approach that area. They just put a whole bunch of guys with a bunch of defensive perimeter stuff going on, and you got to get in there somehow and do what you need to do. You can run and gun it. You can go in stealthy, like, it's kind of open to you. So that was actually a pretty fun game. And like I said, the graphics are just absolutely stunning, even on the high setting. So but again, still a shooter. So I mean, like, if you're not a shooter fan, meh, you know. And I'm not a huge shooter fan. But this one's got some pretty interesting things in it, so.
Okay, community news. first up, I got this from Gax Online, right? Let me just give you the link, because you didn't show me the link to the kill mail first, so I haven't shown you the link to this first. Have a look at that. It is the learning curves of popular MMORPGs.
Ah, I blogged about this like 3 days ago.
Oh, bollocks.
But this is... See, you should be reading winterblink.com.
Failed. This is by Tim MC.
Was this by Tim MC, or who was it? Because this has been tossed around all over the place, and nobody can tell me who actually made this.
Well, it's on Tim MC's blog on Gax Online, so I think we should give him the credit for this, because that means I'm not giving you the credit.
Okay, but I mean, like, I was getting this from, like, that people were MSNing me this all day, you know, on that particular day where I blogged about it, but phenomenal picture showing the learning curves of popular MMOs, and of course, Eves is like this, well, it's just awesome.
Shit, cliff face, and then an overhang, yeah. And then people hanging
like
off
people
it.
People hanging and crucified, and like...
corpses being moved around by a bulldozer. Something's going wrong in whoever made this head.
It's awesome. It is really awesome.
Can I make a point about it, though? Gaming skill for World of Warcraft, shouldn't that be, like, below the graph?
Ooh, sick burn. Yeah, it does go up slightly, though, over time, so...
But patience with putting up with all the crap and all the 12-year-olds shouting their heads off.
Yes, indeed. It's not my favorite MMO either, but... Yeah, this was a really good graph, and of course we'll also put a link to it in the show notes or something, but it's, it's funny stuff.
So yeah, thank you very much to Tim MC for making us laugh. Not really community news, but very, very cool and something you've got to see. Next up, obviously, check out the Drone Bay and check out Warp Drive Active Industry podcast.
Yes, both of which are doing a phenomenal job so far. Great bunch of podcasts. I think it's a good time to be an Eve player and a podcast fan.
Is it? Well, apart from the fact we're on it, on both.
Yes, that reminds me, I need to get Vanilla Pax a logo. I've been asked to do one, and I just have had no time the last couple days.
You can
play sometime today.
You can take about as long as it took you to post Ozzy's book.
We'll see if I can get it out today.
Yeah.
The logo that is not Oz's book.
Yeah, can't be bothered.
Perhaps this week.
For the love of God, do it, dude. Seriously.
Just one of these days, he'll be nice and pleasantly surprised. Like, oh my God, my book's here.
Now I'm 80 years old and in the OEP home. And I can't see anymore because my eyes are gone.
Poor Oz. Sorry, man. Another interesting bit of community stuffery. There was this whole video competition thing going on. I've been kind of poking about in there recently and just been starting to get caught up with all the freaking amazing videos that have been coming out by people. And one in particular, my God, I mean, yeah, I'm biased. It's an MC guy who made it, but if you get a chance to check out the Lacrimosa, it's called, it's like a big Tortuga thing. It's by Dire Lothris. I don't know how you're gonna probably kill me for saying your last name wrong. Phenomenal video. I mean, it's kind of text and chat heavy at the top end of the video for the first half or so. But stick with it, because it kind of tells somewhat of the background of sort of the Tortuga business, and then hops into some of the most phenomenal footage I've seen done in Eve videos in a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just so skillfully... Yeah, it's just so skillfully done. I mean, it's just... mad props to this guy. I mean, it's amazing.
Loxias competition.
Yes, indeed. And of course, like I said, there's all these other videos involved in this whole competition itself, including Loxias' This Is Eve 2, which is an excellent one, although I wasn't quite so keen on the music this time, Loxy. But,
don't criticize him.
Oh, I don't know. I've heard from other people that the music was not quite up to snuff. But that's just my opinion, at least. But, again, there's some awesome videos happening.
I can imagine him at FanFest getting a battle axe and going, "No, you insulted my music!"
I don't know. Loxy doesn't seem like the type to be the battle axe wielding type.
It's always the quiet ones.
Indeed, but it's always the quiet ones that come in with, like, some friggin' massive assault rifle and start mowing everyone down instead of, like, a battle axe.
That wouldn't be good, would it? A postal Loxie at Vanvers.
Oh, he's gonna need a lot of ammo. But yeah, it's, again, check that video out. We should probably provide a link to it in our show notes directly to it. It's just an utter jaw-dropper. In fact, I brought it with me my ski trip, because there's a buddy of mine who is formerly an EVE player, and I was trying to sort of wean him back into it. So I was like, okay. And a lot of these people don't know the game at all that I was with, so I decided to be like, well, here's a good representation of it. And showed that to them, and they were just like, this is a game? They're like, it looks like a movie. Yeah, pretty close.
You're such a dork sometimes, son.
Well, I had the laptop there for other reasons, but just, because I normally when I go on trips of any kind, I, surprise, surprise, I tend to take a lot of pictures. So this again, it's handy to just kind of have something there. You can take them off your camera and show them to people instead of watching on a little 2-inch screen. So it worked out well.
Anyway, speaking of Loxie, the tournament ended on Sunday. Victory for Evoke.
I'm just going to die here. Sorry.
They're not that bad, yeah, Evoke. I mean, I know they're not the most popular people in the world, but...
I'm just taking a drink of water, man. Call me them slack. But no, congratulations to them. I wish I could have seen the fight. I still have not had a chance to go and watch the last 3 days worth of fights, unfortunately. But I'll see if I can make a push this weekend.
But it is up on the EVE TV website. Links in the show notes. So, you know, you can rewatch the matches thanks to the magic of the Bright Cove player. I think, anyway. I think I should just double check that. Now I'm saying that on the podcast. That might actually be a good idea to double check that.
They've been pretty good at putting them up, like, pretty fast, so I'd imagine they're there. But if they're not, you can totally blame Urban.
All my fault.
Of course.
Nope, they're all there. They are all there. No need to panic.
Sorry.
So, yeah, but definitely worth checking out. Evo v Triumvirate was a great, great match. KAO v Triumvirate was another great match. It's definitely well worth checking out. The only thing is, guys, you know they've got this little sign icon? You know, watch out, mind the sign. They started every single fight on this with that little icon, or at least a lot of them, right? And so you just got the little, like, postage stamp-sized picture showing which matches there are, just with the mind the sign thing in the middle. It's like, no!
Well, as opposed to what? Just, like, you know, Ships? The normal screen, which just shows, like, Ships? All the different...
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, all the starting shots would all be of just, like, you know, the actual EVE TV screen with the ships on either side. Just the, you know, the target boxes, whoop-de-doo. So, I guess it's better than nothing. And that sign, man, someone at CCP put hours and hours into making that sign. It should have its day. That day is the tournament.
Well, what is it? Infinity Welcomes Careful Drivers, the Red Dwarf book, where they hit the sign? You've not seen that?
No.
You not read the Red Dwarf book?
No.
Homework assignment for the future, I guess.
Maybe.
Anyway, so we're not going to go through the big tournament thing because we went through that last week. But
well, I guess my one question for you then, as someone who watched all of them, did you watch Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or just Saturday, Sunday? I mean, like, how was this compared? Because remember last week I had my little ravelage on what was going on. How was the overall tournament production this weekend? Was it good? Was it bad?
It's fairly standard. As I said, the issues we brought up. Were much the same, you know, in terms of the actual combat and the matches was variable, but some of it was very, very good, and you're going to expect that. They still did the 40-minute break for no good reason.
Well, you gotta eat.
No. I'm quite happy for them to do a break, but why do you just put a clock there and Eve never fades away at an angle? You know, it just didn't seem to me the best thing you could really do with that time. Especially as, you know, they were in Iceland for quite a while before this, and of course they got all the footage they did for EVE TV and for the FanFest and stuff, so, you know, you could have put up some really cool stuff there, but no, just the clock. And not that EVE Never Fades isn't cool, but a little postage-sized stamp of that at an angle? Nah.
Yeah, they should do something better with that. My suggestion would be, on the launches, then, Stevie Cam. Give her a little helmet with a camera on it, and then she can, like, go and eat her lunch with everyone else. They can go and screw around the CCP offices, wherever they need to do, and they can just stream that whole thing off.
Moxie, hire that man now.
Seriously, would that not be the best? I mean, you know, it'd be great. Everyone would be doing all sorts of silly stuff to Stevie, because they knew she had the camera on.
Stevie Cam, only on ETV.
Give that a go. But I mean, you know, the commentary is really good. I mean, like, all that stuff.
There's less MC flagging on the last day and stuff, so... Yeah, I mean, again, you always get a little bit of a mixed bag with commentators, but certainly I think Ed's did really well. I think Verone did very well. You liked Ninja Turtle, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good on the first weekend.
Yep, so I thought he was good on the second weekend as well. So yeah, good job, guys. Stevie, as always, did her own excellent job. And Oxy? And Loxy helped.
Congratulations. Yes. He's now, like, acne medicine. Yes.
And Loxy held, you know, the whole behind-the-scenes stuff together really quite nicely. So,
and kept everyone's pores clean.
So anyway, yep, tournament's over for another 6 months, but soon there'll be another one, before you know it, I'm sure. Still no announcement on, like, the weekly TVs, by the way. Did you notice that?
Oh, I was hoping that maybe there would have been something this weekend, but I guess not. That's too bad.
I haven't heard a single peep out of anybody, so no news on that.
They're probably cooking up something so awesome they don't want to tell anybody right away.
Well, we'll have to see on that as well. And finally, we've got our little chat with our friend Mr. Alien Hand, the composer.
Yes. Roll tape.
And now on the Warp Drive Active podcast, we are deeply honoured to be in the presence of Mr. Alien Hand, one of the finest composers currently working in New Eden. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. It's very kind of you.
There's no problem. Anytime, dude.
So how long have you been playing Eve for?
Roughly, yeah, a bit over 3 months.
Ah, so you're one of the new influx.
You can say that, yeah.
Welcome to New Eden, sir.
Thank you. I actually started, I think, like 1 week before the Trinity came out.
Oh, right.
So that was a big step in the graphics.
And the boot innies. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we shouldn't keep reminding CCP about that one. That's cruel. But we are cruel, aren't we?
only a little bit.
So anyway, how are you finding the game?
I think it's huge. I mean, the possibilities in the game is just wow. And also, I mean, as I think I heard in the previous podcast or in Drone Bay podcast, you have to do some teamwork or group up with a corp or something like that, because Eve is hard to play if you are alone. But actually I've played alone for 3 months and did some freelancing. I like to be independent, because if I make music, I may sit down 16 hours straight, and I don't have time for to play Eve, but I met some nice people in Eve, and we figured out how to do some teamwork gaming, mostly mining, a bit mission. So I mean, being in a co-op is one thing, but you can actually do some serious teamwork without being in a co-op. But I think it's a matter of if you can trust the people you meet in Eve.
That's very true.
Oh yes, couldn't agree more with that one.
I mean, when I started, I was a bit surprised that I got so many so many people just started writing me and hey, come and join my co-op and blah blah blah. And I was like, can I just, you know, just try the tutorial first, maybe, or just, you know,
give me 5 minutes to learn how to control my ship first.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that was about, but that was a bit scary, actually. And I stumbled upon about that that ISK selling thing, and I was like, "What is that doable? Is that legal? Do they want more money from me or what?" So, but a friend told me that they were like spammers or yeah.
Not positive things, those things, but yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the few negative sides of Eve, of course. But in the total of it, it actually fits my my way of playing.
So you kind of compose electronic music, don't you?
Yeah, that's my main thing. Mostly electronics, electronical music. Yeah.
I think on your website it was there was some emphasis on trance at one point. Like, are you still sticking with that, or is this something that you moved on from, or what's the deal?
Well, actually, I think I started doing trance and dance back in 94, 95, and it's still something that I do. Make remixes of big artists and stuff like that. But recently, I had the opportunity to explore in the ambient style, and I wanted to do that for years, actually. So and a friend of mine introduced me to Eve, the game, and I looked at it and I said, "Wow, that is definitely something for me." And just playing it I just got some inspiration, you know, just a notch more to live out my dream for many years. So I started to make some ambience, and I blame Eve.
Yeah, it's good inspiration. Eve tends to, I think, really mesh well with ambient music, which I think is why you know, its current soundtrack works so well for it. In my opinion, I know there's others out there who may not like that kind of stuff, but I thought it went well. It almost has that neat little retro feel to it, which is I don't know, works very well for space music.
Yeah, and also I'm a sci-fi freak. I mean, since I can remember, I've watched sci-fi movies and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's good stuff.
So what inspired you to actually start composing music for Eve, though?
Well, a lot of times when I start making, for example, a trance, some trance music or trance number, I have this... I actually make up a theme, and some of it is so ambient like that you cannot use it for trance, and I just, you know, put it on the shelf as I said, then I start playing Eve and got some inspiration, and I think it was a combination of the design in Eve, this futuristic kind of, I was having something like Blade Runner in the back of my mind with some of the things, but also the graphics in Eve is astonishing. I mean, it just blew me away that you could actually make an online multiplayer game with that kind of graphic intensity.
Oh yes, I mean, you're not the first person who said they've been blown away by the graphics in Eve. How's the community response been to your tunes?
Well, actually, on the forum in on Eve Online, I posted a few threads there, and it seems like that people are enjoying the music, and of course, since this is a new field for me, of course I have to do things better and clean up. The music in itself, because it's a style that I'm not used to making, but I feel that I have it fairly under control, and the people are giving some good comments back, and it actually makes me want to do more.
Okay. So you are planning to do a lot more in the future then?
Yes, I am.
That's good, man, because like, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's, like I said, I think I said to you personally, it was like this, your stuff so far has gone like right alongside the Eve music on my iPod, just because it would like fits so well together that it just, yeah, it's really, really good stuff.
Thank you.
No problem. Do you have a personally favorite track that that you love out of all the ones? And they're all great, but I think you've done four so far, right? I don't know, just curious if there's one that sort of stood out for you as your personal favorite.
But actually, I've done five.
Was it five already? Wow. Yeah. I'm behind.
Counting's not Blinky's strong point. It's like he's in Goon Swarm or something.
Oh, man, indeed.
You haven't heard the fifth track?
I guess not. I'll have to go grab that right now as we speak. I've been so busy lately, it's not even funny, so...
I think it's like a month ago.
Oh, yeah, that would be about the time I think I'm really busy, so...
Oh, I know the feeling. I know the... Yeah.
Indeed.
But anyways, yeah, the best track, in my opinion, actually, I kind of like the human chorus, the human core in general, and it just makes the sounds that more... I mean, you. When I do the music, I have a lot of feelings, emotion involved. I just don't play some tune, and that's that. I have an idea and a theme in the back of my head that I want to have this piece of music going in a certain direction. And I think the last one, the fifth, Forever Lost. Is actually, I think, one of the good ones I've made. Of course, I like them all; otherwise, I wouldn't do them. But the human core in itself, it just expresses so much that I mean, I simply love it, and I simply love working with human cores. So I think that's one of my favorites. Yeah.
I think we just found our lead out track there. Don't you, Blinky?
Sounds good to me.
That's a long. In that particular piece, I've made two additions to that. One is without the intro, and one is with the intro. And the one without the intro is actually made because a few guys on the forum said, "Well, we think that." The intro is a bit long. I mean, it's very how do you say that, sound effects like, and it was like 1.5 minutes long. So they thought, well, maybe it was a bit too long. So I just made one without the intro, so you could just skip it to the music part actually. So that was like requests and for the fans, of course.
So if people want to get your music, where can they go to?
Of course. They can go to alienhand.dk. DK, that stands for Denmark, where I am from. So just alienhand.dk. That is where I publish the music and other info of relevance. Of course, if CCP or anyone else wants to do some kind of business proposal of me doing some music for them, of course that is possible. I'm not just one way minded, but for now it's free for all to hear. So it was mostly I did it mostly because I wanted to see the reaction of people. Doing the webpage alienhand.dk and also see how many would download it and how many would listen to it and the response. I was just curious is if it was anything that people would listen to, and I must say the response was overwhelming. It was more than I could bargain for, actually.
Sounds a lot when I put out my first comic, to be honest, is that it was just basically a testing the waters type of thing, and the response from the community was just insane, and it really does spur you on to keep going.
Yeah, that makes it funny. Yeah, I mean, a few people has written me just, hey, dude, I saw you on Local, and I like your music, just keep going, and just I want more. And that's just what everybody says. So that's quite funny, and also, I mean, it makes you. It makes me proud of the music I've made and knowing that people is actually just waiting for the next piece. I mean, it's huge. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Just a question for me on something else. So you mentioned you were from Denmark. Is there any sort of local music scene influence then that sort of finds its way into your work? And are there any particular sort of Denmark composers of that, you know, that you might want to pimp a little bit? So, like, is there any favorites or anything?
Well, I think that that ambience in general is not a big market in Denmark, so
they're more just kind of industrially type stuff, isn't it?
I think it's more like rock and generally pop music. So it's not dance and trance and ambience, which I make. Yeah, of course, there's some huge record companies in Denmark, but they are, I don't know what they are called now, because a few of them popped up and they were bought up by some big corporation, and I mean, it's. It's a whole story in itself, but I think that the possibility to get the music out in other countries where you have the public for it is more likely, actually.
Yeah, and enter the magic of the internet, right, where it's like instantly available to everybody. And yeah, in a exactly. game, yeah, in a game like Eve, which has such an international player base, I mean, you put it out, you put out one thread, as you see, and you get responses probably from all over the world. So,
yeah, actually, I got more response on Eve online than I did on MySpace. I think I've only got one comment on MySpace, and that was from my brother, who's also making music, but in the acoustic department.
Indeed.
So that was a big well. I wasn't happy about that, so I posted it in Eve Online and to see what would happen, and in my web stats. I can see mostly where people are coming from when they go into my page, and I was actually quite surprised that you had people from US, Canada, Russia, all over Europe. I think some South America and of course Asia. So it's not just one piece of the world that is listening to this music. I think people is if they have some kind of course every people has their own music taste or taste of music, but in this way, of course, with the internet you can reach everybody in the whole world, so it's not just in Denmark or Europe, it's actually all over.
That's good stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyway, that is nearly all we've got time for this week. So thank you very much to Alien Hand and to everybody else for listening.
Yep, thank you very much.
So see you next week, guys.
Yep, fly safe-ish.
Definitely. Fly safe, yeah.
And as I said, please intro your final tune to lead out on.
The tune Forever Lost is that deep space feeling... when you feel like you are lost, you're searching for something your whole life, and you're searching for something in space, in Eve, or maybe it's something how do you say that something psychic or whatever. And when you finally find what you're looking for, you actually realize that you cannot go back to the point where you started out.